Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you're listening, Tucker, hold on a second. If you're listening, Tucker Carlson, you can know this is Wretched Radio. Tucker Carlson, the jovial Tucker Carlson, speaking at the Republican National Party Convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Jimmy, would you please check? Is the president done speaking yet? That's still going on right there. Received a great tweet, Bart. It said, if you listen to the entire 96-minute speech by the president, you can never criticize your pastor for the length of his sermons again. If you can sit through 96 minutes of that, you can sit through any sermon. Tucker Carlson speaking at the convention, a man who has been, it's clear, on a bit of a sorting. He's trying to figure stuff out. He's speaking more and more like a Christian, but it kind of did a little twinge in my heart when I heard him say this.
But there's a lot of love. There's a lot of love.
That's not the part that made my heart twinge. That's coming.
And we are seeing that love. I don't think it's human love. And I'll just stop with this. I'm not always convinced that I'm on the right side. I've been on the wrong side many times. You'll never hear me say I'm on God's side or God's with me or even I'm with God. I want to be. Not sure I am.
Oh, that hurt. You can know, Tucker. You can know. God doesn't keep people in limbo their entire lives wondering, am I in, am I out? If you have repented and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in. You didn't bring yourself in. He reveals himself. He brings you into his kingdom, and you can't get yourself out of it, and you can know. Now, this was just an off-the-cuff remark. It appears Tucker's speaking without notes, which is pretty impressive, honestly. He tends to do that. I mean, he doesn't know yet. If you bump into Tucker, tell him you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt because Jesus gives you his word. If you repent and trust in him, you are in his hand, his mighty hand. Nobody's going to pluck you out.
But I will say this unequivocally and conclusively. God is among us right now.
Jimmy, do you know what that means for sure? I'm not exactly certain on that. Nevertheless, Tucker Carlson, just a little bit earlier in his presentation, he started to talk about an observation that he's been making for a bit, and I think that we've all observed this.
And that is what's happened over the past month since the debate, and particularly on Saturday in Butler. I think a lot of people are wondering, what is this? This doesn't look like politics. Something bigger is going on here. I think even people who don't believe in God are beginning to think, well, maybe there's something to this.
Indeed. I agree with that observation. And I think it's the turmoil. I think it's the instability of our leaders that is leading people to go, the economy, they can't buy a house, difficulties paying off student loans, can't get a job with a diploma that they paid a fortune for or at least owe a fortune for. And they're starting to look up. I believe that. And I see it on university campuses all the time. You can see it on your YouTube machine. It's not just Tucker who's on a search. Joe Rogan, Jordan Peterson. What about Russell Brand? If you followed him at all, you watched it happening. This guy was trying to figure it out. And what he observed in this mess of a culture that we're living in is all these disjointed puzzle pieces are not fitting together with any other glue than Christianity. And he came to the conclusion Jesus is his savior. We hope that is so, don't we? Wouldn't that be an amazing salvation story? That this guy, Hollywood reprobate fellow, now believes in Jesus. Jesus saves sinners. And he keeps sinners. Tucker, and you should know that. Tucker Carlson, not the only one speaking at the Republican Party convention. There was somebody else who offered some religious things.
So agyakari, tumari gatmit, tumhi jani, Nanak das sada kurbani. Dear Waheguru, our one true God.
Yikes. That was a Sikh singing and praying to what she believes is the one true God, Wagahu, I believe. And that shocked a whole lot of people who are going, what's that all about? And it's just a reminder, if you don't like to see things like this, I can only think of one solution. Okay, I can think of two solutions. One of them is bad. The other one is good. One solution is that you just tell these people, go away. That, no, we're just not going to let you in here. Or we could share the gospel and everybody who attends the convention is saved and they don't want to hear about Wagahani. That would be my vote right there, that everybody gets saved. And then you'll just notice a difference in parties. You'll notice a difference in platforms. You'll notice a difference in politicians. You will notice a difference in politics. You'll notice a difference in your world. Expanding Jesus' kingdom through evangelism. That is God's pre-described. This is his preordained means. This is what he's all about. Bringing glory to himself through the redemptive work of his son, Jesus Christ. More from the Republican Party convention. This was a meme that went all the rage. If you believe God intervened to save former President Trump, you didn't, but he didn't intervene to save the kids in Uvalde or Parkland or Santa Fe or Sandy Hook, then you're worshiping partisan politics, not Jesus. The pastor's name is Zach Lambert. Millions of people have seen it. Hundreds of thousands have affirmed it. What do we do with the Trump shooting? Well, Shane Claiborne would say, we can be sure that God did not save Donald Trump, but not the person killed by mistake. God did not save Trump, for that matter, but not the kids at Sandy Hook or Uvalde. I'm having a hard time tracking this too. God did not save some of the Israeli hostages, but not the others. God does not want thousands of kids in Gaza to die. Huh? Well, where is God in Shane's world? Where's God in Pastor Lambert's world? What's he doing up there? How are things running? Who's in control of this place? And that is a subject well worth our consideration. Shane Claiborne said, if our theology does not make us more loving, then we should question our theology. I would not affirm that statement fully. I'd affirm that partially. Our theology, true theology, it should make us loving. But if the world determines that our theology isn't loving, I don't change my theology to accommodate the world. Our theology is our theology. Quote from Shane, any theology that puts God rather than sinful human beings behind a gun or a bomb is bad theology. What do we do with the evil in our world? What do we do with memes and statements like this? Was the missed assassination of Donald Trump a miracle? Did God intervene? Let's tackle the former first. I don't think it was a miracle. You say, whoa, come on. He turned his head, ad libbing it, as he's wont to do, looking at a sign about the ridiculous rates, the flooding of our nation through immigration, illegal immigration, turns his head and the bullet whizzes through his ear and not through his brain. You're saying that's not a miracle? Well, unless, of course, we've got it on film, we can slow down the bullet and somehow the bullet was headed right for him or something else for that matter. And if suddenly the laws of nature were interrupted and that bullet just dinged his ear, that would be a miracle. But I don't think we're going to find that footage. Instead, this is God's providence. It wasn't a miracle. We always want to be careful with a miracle terminology. We almost got into a car accident. It's a miracle I'm alive. Well, only if somehow God, he took the laws of nature that you were headed right for, and then all of a sudden his hand picked your car up and delivered you over the fiery flames. Okay, you can call that a miracle, but otherwise it's providence. And it falls underneath the realm of God's sovereignty. Was it a miracle? No, it was. That doesn't detract from, whoa, that was close. That would have been awful. But I don't think you can call it a miracle. What about God intervening? And I think that's what this pastor is on about. What are you saying? That God intervened with him, but he didn't with the kids at those school shootings? Look, this is not easy territory, especially when you have a particular evil in mind. But deal with the subject we must. And this gives us the opportunity to do that. When there are national conversations on political issues, be looking for the opportunity to shine a theological light into the darkness. And I think we have that opportunity right now. Did God intervene and save President Trump's life? Or is there another theological word that we should use to understand why evil exists and why God is not complicit in it? So, Tucker, we hope you're listening. Shane, we hope you're listening even more. This is Wretched Radio.
Are you terrified of sharing the gospel? Do you feel unprepared to witness in this sin-sick culture? Well, just know that you're not alone, which is why we're pointing you to Terrified 2, a powerful DVD resource that equips you with the tools that Jesus himself used to fulfill the Great Commission. It's packed with engaging teaching and real-life examples that will teach you how to humbly help others understand their need for a Savior, proclaim the gospel of forgiveness through Christ, and to call people to repentance and faith. We'll give you answers to tough questions and common objections as well. Terrified 2 really does take the fear out of evangelism by showing you the biblical model for witnessing. It's the same approach used by Charles Spurgeon and D.L. Moody, Ray Comfort, and others. Don't let your fear or terror hold you back anymore. Get Terrified 2 today along with the study guide at wretched.org. That's wretched.org, and gain the confidence you need to share the gospel with anyone, even complete strangers.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies, the war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, I've been thinking, you and I, we're kind of like kindred spirits, aren't we? We both love digging into God's Word, unpacking meaty theological truths, and sharing the life-changing message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's like we're on this adventure together, and I know what you're probably thinking, oh no, here it comes. But hear me out. We've got this radical goal of reaching millions all over the world. I'm talking about a global spiritual revolution. And you know we can't do it alone. So here's the deal. We're looking for gospel partners. I'm talking about fired up, sold out, ready to change the world partners. That's where you come in. Would you prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Because it could be your support that helps us reach that guy who's about to give up hope or the girl who thinks she's too far gone. Together, we could do something bigger than ourselves. You can get all of the details right now at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. The Apostle Peter wrote a second epistle to clarify and defend the Christian message. He asserts the authority of Scripture, warns against false teachers, and reminds us that the end is coming. But God is patient, allowing all of his people to come to repentance. If you want a clear contrast between true and false Christianity, look to 2 Peter. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A miracle, intervention, or something else. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt you've seen the footage, probably over and over again, the iconic images of Donald Trump at a rally in Pennsylvania, turning his head and having his ear dinged. Many people commenting on it. What happened there? Some, of course, would say it was luck. Well, Christians recognize there is no such thing as luck. Was it a miracle? I say, without detracting, that it was a good thing his ear just got dinged and not his head. And it wasn't a miracle because the laws of nature weren't violated. If we are going to be rather pristine in our terminology, we need to understand that miracles involve a temporary suspension of what is normal with God's operating principles, whether it's natural law or it's metaphysical spiritual law. It has to be suspended somehow for it to be a miracle. Others saying it was God's intervention. And then some people responding to that, like a pastor who's getting millions and millions of visits, views on X, said, if you believe God intervened to save former President Trump, but didn't intervene to save the kids at the school shootings, you're worshiping partisan politics, not Jesus. Well, did anybody say anything like that? Nevertheless, we would do well as believers to be aware of the political realm conversations, to try to shine a theological light into the darkened thinking. And this is a perfect opportunity. People are going, what was that? What happened there? Peter Sammons is going to help us. If you recall, a year or so ago, we spent a lot of time in his book called The Reprobation and God's Sovereignty, Recovering a Biblical Doctrine. Magnificent treatment of the issue of evil. A great treatment on, well, the title says it, God's sovereignty. We've got to get this doctrine squared away underneath our belts and proclaim it because God didn't intervene. He's running everything. And fair enough, it immediately raises the question, so what about these horrible things? God's ordaining that? And the answer is yes, but he's not the one responsible for it. Let's gloss again through Peter Sammons' great work, Reprobation and God's Sovereignty, to remember how he runs the place, because he is running the place. He's not a deist God. He's not one who intervenes here. He's not involved there. I'm bored with those people, so I'm going to go to that continent. Nope. Everywhere, running everything. It's the doctrine of God's sovereignty. It is an exercise of the solitary will of God whereby he determines every event that transpires in history before time ever begins. This decree is unconditional and dependent upon nothing but the will of God, his unchangeable power, his infinite resources. He's controlling everything. And you say, whoa, that seems to make him complicit in evil. Was he? Is he? And the answer is an emphatic, absolutely not. This is an explanation from Thomas Goodwin. He explains that while God is omnipotent, yet he is not omnivolent, willing to do all things. Though he can do all things infinitely more than he has done, yet he does not will to do all things that he is able, for his power is limited by his will. And he's not imposed upon by an external force. Satan doesn't persuade God to do this or that. God wills to do whatever he chooses. And sometimes he chooses not to do certain things. He chooses sometimes to not grant eyes that can see. He chooses sometimes to not protect. And you say, but he could stop all of that. Why doesn't he do that? That makes him evil because evil exists in this world. Not so fast. God is also good and he is able and he is faithful. And so we start out by understanding God's sovereignty and his goodness. And that is why the Westminster Confession summarizes it this way. Yet so, as thereby neither is God the author of sin, nor is violence offered to the will of all the creatures, nor is the liberty or contingency of, here it comes, second causes taken away, but rather established. You say second causes. Not familiar with that term. You should be familiar with that term. Secondary causes, proximate causes. Here's the hierarchy of causes, because there isn't a cause. There are causes in the events that we witness with our eyes. The ultimate cause, God. That's everything. That's good, bad, evil, calamities, all of it. He's the ultimate cause. Don't panic if you're thinking he causes evil, meaning he's guilty of evil, because he uses what we would call secondary causes, or if you will, proximate causes to work on, to cause the efficient causer. There's your third causer, the efficient causer, the one who actually does the shooting. So the kid up on the roof in Pennsylvania, he was the efficient cause. But there were proximate causes that worked on him. For instance, and now we'd never want to try to get into the mind of God. I'm just saying, here are some of the options of what could be a proximate cause. Now, that the guy had God let his mind get darkened, that God let him harden his own heart. Now, that this kid consumed really bad ideas. God had withheld salvific faith, which would have given him a new mind. Those are all proximate causes. And God then is guiltless because proximate causes act on the efficient causer, which commits the evil. So God is shielded by secondary causes. It is not a sin for God to not do something good. It is not a sin for God to not intervene. It's not a sin. God uses proximate causes to bring about his will because he's working on doing bigger things than we can ever imagine. And Peter Sammons, in his book, I truly recommend it. It's hard reading. It ain't simple, but it's worth it. These are big issues. Here's what he said. These are categories of causation that he describes. Ultimate cause. The ultimate cause of every action that occurs in the world is God, who providentially governs all actions for his purposes. Proximate cause of an action is the agent, human or otherwise, who influences, directs, or enables an action. And then there's the efficient cause. It's the agent, human or otherwise, who directly carries out the action. Scripture indicates sin does not occur outside of the ordained plan of God, who is the ultimate cause and responsible party for all things. But since Scripture says that both concurrent realities are true, that God ordained sin while remaining holy and unchangeable for sin, the need for theological categories of causation is established. This is not Peter Sammons in the 21st century concocting it. Do you remember what the divines of the Westminster Confession said? That God ordains all things, yet is not complicit because of secondary causes. This is an ancient idea. This is not new. And he gives example after example in the Bible, the Old Testament, that show this. Ahab, bad king. Ahab sought prophetic counsel to determine whether or not he should go into battle. His 400 false prophets assured him of victory. What Ahab didn't know was that God had enticed these false prophets to lie to him. And how did he do it? By enlisting the help of demons. Quote, "And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab to go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one spirit said this, while another said that. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord. I'll entice him. And the Lord said, how? And he said, I'll go out to be a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all his prophets. And he said, you shall entice him, and you will also prevail. Go and do so. Did God entice him? Nope. It was a demon that came and said, I'll do it. And God let him. God let a demon be a demon, using the same Hebrew word for entice. God determined in this passage to provide a lie to one of his false devotees in order to bring about his demise. He didn't do it directly. He commissioned an eager and willing demon to carry out the task. And so it is, demons serve as the proximate cause in the lies that false prophets tell. 1 Timothy 4:1, 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 11. God is the ultimate cause of the lie. A fallen angel is the proximate cause of the lie, and a false prophet is the efficient cause of the lie. That's how God runs the place. Nothing escapes his attention. He doesn't intervene. He's predetermined before eternity began that Donald Trump's ear would be dinged. They determined it. And furthermore, he's not guilty because that kid committed a wicked act. He uses proximate causes to work on the efficient cause. And so God's hands are always holy, holy, holy. Reprobation and God's sovereignty, Peter Sammons. This is Wretched Radio.